The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue our study this morning in the word of truth in Genesis chapter 1. We'll pick up with the analysis of verses 9 and 10. The local church is a classroom of Christianity. It's this environment where the church and their particular geographical locations are to come together for the dissemination, the assimilation of the divine viewpoint of life. That is to be done and exercised in both truth and spirit. In spirit, denotes God the Holy Spirit in his filling role who indwells all believers. You cannot expect to approach God's Word. The Bible, it is supernatural. It demands supernatural intelligence and exercise of power in order for one in the natural body to understand it. That is through the grace apparatus perception made possible via God the Holy Spirit as believers. By being in fellowship, isolated in the sin nature, we are predisposed spiritually to ascertain the spiritual principles of the truth of Bible doctrine. Today, people all over the world are erroneously approaching God's Word in their nod to God and a holiday called Easter to celebrate God's Jesus Christ's resurrection. We obviously recognize His resurrection, but we demand that you celebrate it every day of your life, not just one day out of the year. And in order to celebrate it and to maximize regards or appreciation, demands, therefore, we take the second component in regards to understanding God's Word, and that is the truth of His Word, the content of Scripture, which fills in all the blanks necessary to understand the repercussions, the magnitude of what His resurrection truly means regards to the human race, and that is for the glorification of God Himself and for those who will adhere themselves otherwise to the truth of doctrine in fellowship in this vein. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound, as is our custom, as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you once again for the opportunity to come together as a local church at Cleveland, Ohio, to study the truth of your word. We ask that you bless us in regards to our studies, in our apprehension and comprehension of these things, that we take these things to heart and embrace them as the truth of your word, and indeed apply them as necessary in regards to taking captive every thought for Christ, as well as fulfillment of your word in our lives in this regard. All this be it God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Here in the opening of Genesis, we have seen an original creation. We have pointed to a judgment that came upon that creation. And now a restoration is in progress in regards to planet Earth and the universe that was shut down by God. The Earth encapsulated in ice, and the universe and the world in darkness otherwise, in response to the evil of the angelic rebellion targeting planet Earth as the issue in this regard. Now in the restoration on D+1 or day one, the first thing that God did was reestablish a light source within the universe. We note that in verses 3 and 4 and 5 that there is no creation verb. Simply, God decreed that there would be light, and then we see fulfillment, there was light. This implies that God's provisional light was a manifestation of His essence. He simply turned on the light by expressing His righteousness in its form of absolute light, and it provides a sufficient light for planet Earth, therefore, to now push on in regards to the restoration and putting it back in a decent and orderly way for the habitation of life in and of itself. On D+2, the next step in restoration is God provides an atmosphere. an atmosphere that has oxygen necessary for flora and fauna and life otherwise to survive. And in that case, in the creation of the atmosphere, God exercised his omnipotence upon the waters that covered the surface of the world, compressing them, causing a positive pressure for an atmosphere to be created and made to encompass the world, the earth in and of itself in this respect. And the atmosphere itself was in the form of a water vapor canopy, which provided all the moisture necessary in order for life otherwise to survive. As we know through other verses, up until the Noahic flood, there was no rain on the planet. God watered the plants, etc., with a heavy dew in the mornings of the days of his existence back there. At that point in time. So D plus 2, God creates an atmosphere. Now in D plus 3, day 3, we see the creation of what is known as Pangaea and Flora. Verses 9 through 13, hopefully you're getting used to reading sideways, as sometimes I don't catch my iPad flipping like I should. Rereading the verses here, then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. This harks back to the fact that in the judgment on the original creation, there obviously was a flood. And it falls in line with the verses in Job that God essentially took the landmass that was on the original creation and sunk it down for the world to be flooded. Now it's necessary for land, terra firma, to rise above the level of the water that is over its surface. And then verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. All right, we've already looked at the Hebrew on this. One, in the analysis here, verses 9 and 10. On D plus 3, God accomplishes two distinct but related works. A, the establishment of dry land in verses 9 and 10, which I divided the day up into the two segments. Then B, the production of flora or plant life. That's what flora means, plant life. Verses 11 through 13. Fauna means animal life. So two, dry land of necessity came first, as it was essential to the life forms of flora to follow. Got to have land for the plants to grow in, the ground, the nutrients, and all these other things. So three, by the end of D plus three, day three, we will see the reversing of tohu is completed. The judgment upon the planet came in the form in the Hebrew referred to as tohu wa bohu. Tohu looks at the planet becoming a waste place, becoming in a state of confusion, unable to support life. Bohu reflects on the fact that all life then disappeared otherwise. So that by the end of D plus 3, the reversing of tohu, the earth being a waste place, desolate, is completed, with the landscape and environment reestablished sufficient to sustain life. That is, earth is no longer desolate or barren. So 4, a divine fiat, that is the divine decree or proclamation by God, continues to bring about God's work via the phrase, and God said. All these things that occur in regards to the restoration is by divine fiat. God speaks, it happens. He flexes his omnipotence in regards to what he determines to occur, and it is then fulfilled. Hence the power of God's word. If he can obviously create a universe out of nothing, matter out of nothing, simply by speaking his mind, how much more can he not fulfill the rest of his word in regards to the truth of Bible doctrine? And hence, the God that we serve, this is the kind of power he has. And while we place our trust in him as the rock of our so great salvation and deliverance in all things. So divine fiat, once again, brings about God's works, his plan, via the phrase, "in God said." Point five, his determination. Again, we've pointed out in regards to the divine fiat, there's certain formulas attached to him, and there's a determination formula. His determination is clear again here, using the jussive or command verbs, let be gathered, which is kawa in the Hebrew, and then let appear, which is ra'a in the Hebrew. Let the waters be gathered below the heavens, and let the dry land appear. So let gathered, let appear. Kawa, ra'a. Six, both verbs are nifal forms in the Hebrew, which is passive. A passive form demands an outside agent for the action of the verb to be fulfilled. So both verbs are nifal forms, recognizing the necessity for God's exercise of omnipotence to fulfill the commands. All life is dependent upon God. All life is sustained by God. Through the exercise of his omnipotence, all that we recognize being in the universe and other universe is held together by him. And when the time is up, he will release the bonding agent of the atoms and our present heavens and earth and life on it, as it is known, will be dissolved in a great ball of fire. Make a song then, great balls of fire. See? And through his omnipotence, a new heavens, a new earth will be created. And we'll get to be there to watch that one. The angels got to watch the original creation. They had center front row seats at that concert. There will be another one. And we will have front row seats on that one and get to watch God express himself in this creation in that vein. So seven, now the objects of gathering and appearing here are the waters below the heavens and the dry land respectively in that order. Eight, what he did was separate the dry land from the waters below. Again, the world is encased in water at this point in time. The surface is a liquid form of H2O. And he now will separate and cause dry land to be divided from the waters. So nine, the fulfillment of the fiat is simply stated, and it was so. And it was so. So he declared, and it happened. It came to pass. So ten, the waters below is separate, obviously, from the upper water vapor canopy that was created on D+2 and refers to the liquid waters covering the earth's surface. 11, in other words, the deep and the surface of the waters, as is so described in verse 2, recognizing the result of the judgment and over the surface of the deep, and then God the Holy Spirit hovering over the planet, defrosting the planet, returning it back from ice to liquid state. So 12, now the verb gathered here the verb gathered has a root meaning to wait. To hold your horses, wait, see. Colorfully illustrating the necessity of the waters being restrained in place at the mercy of being dispersed by the dry land. So the Hebrew language is often very colorful in regards to how it represents things here. And the waters here are commanded to wait. They are to stay in place. And they don't have to do anything. The land's going to do the work. All they got to do is wait for the land to appear. And then obviously the water will subside, allowing the land to come and appear in spite of it. So the verb getter, point 12 again, has the root meaning to wait, colorfully illustrating the necessity of the waters being restrained in a place at the mercy of being dispersed by the dry land. 13, this logically tells us that in order to accomplish this, God had to raise the surface of the seabed so that it was higher than the volume of water that previously covered the earth. Whatever portions that he determined to make up the land. So 14, now the raising of the earth's crust established dry land, yabasha in the Hebrew, or that which we refer to as terra firma, producing a solid terrain separate from the waters. 15, gathering it into one place, established then a continent. And in this point in case, we'll see it's a single continent. So 16, Peter, in his epistles, alludes to this phenomenon in 2 Peter 3:5. For the evolutionists, uniformitarians of the last days, is prophesied that this heretical propaganda campaign of lies in regards to creation will dominate. And Peter points this out in his epistle, for when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. So Peter obviously concurs with the creation account. In 17, Peter's descriptions out of water refers to the percentage of the seabed elevated to form this new continent, and then by means of water looks to the effect of the water runoff carving the terrain. Obviously, apart from land that was solid rock that appeared, the soil would be wet, and for it to rise and elevate above, the runoff would create hills, valleys, things of this nature. 18, Peter goes on to say in 2 Peter 3:6, that water then was the agent of death for the antediluvian civilizations. So he recognizes, obviously, original creation, but he also recognizes the narrative account, historical account of the flood, and that the world today that looks back in its evolutionary glasses does not recognize or accept a sudden catastrophic effect upon this planet to place it into the forms that we have today. And verse 6, through which the world at that time was destroyed in its early history, and that came via the Noah flood, being flooded with water. So 19, now modern man calls this singular continent, this landmass that God raised from under the waters, he calls it Pangaea. It's his scientific name, Pangaea. 20, the concept of a supercontinent. There was only one continent when the earth was restored back in the state of what we are seeing here in Genesis. And this concept of the supercontinent, point 20, namely that all land masses of the earth at one time were connected, is a currently accepted viewpoint among both creationists and evolutionists. It's one of those things so obvious that even science can't find a way around that. And you can easily look at the outlay of the continents as they are positioned today on our globe and see that they are cut out in such a way that one recognizes that at one time they were all connected. So that's point 21. If one looks at the outline of the continents, one can see they fit together like a big jigsaw puzzle. 22, one model presented of how it may have looked is, as I've given you a small picture there, turn it on. I don't know if that's any easier for you to see, but basically what you have on the top part of this model that we have is the continent today that would incorporate Russia and the Middle East and China and that section there. Then down and connected, they're connected down below. You would have Canada, United States, South America here, Africa around here, India, Australia, which is considered a continent, even though it is a huge, huge island. And then you have the aspects of the Antarctic, which they don't know what it looks like underneath all the ice, but it used to be land, etc. So that's a kind of, you can see how there's the United States in this figure, Central America, South America, and that would be essentially how one would look at it being put together. And that's a pretty good model for all intents and purposes. Twenty-three, continuing on here. In 1912, the father of continental drift, one Alfred Wegener, cited geographical, geological, and paleontological evidence proposing that some 200 million years ago, world's continents were all joined into a single supercontinent that he then termed Pangaea, which means all the earth. So he is the scientist, if you will, that recognized movement of the earth itself, a planet, terra firma, on his scope of existence, and put together this puzzle, of which then was ultimately accepted. The oceanic crust movement that we recognize and fully understand today is never really still. The faults and things of that nature, where earthquakes are at, scientists recognize Earth's movement. So, 24, as the seafloor spread, Pangaea ultimately broke up, and the continents began to drift away from each other, finally assuming their present position. And obviously, this occurred, we can put it together, occurred as a result of the great flood. So 25, Wegener's hypothesis languished, as it is in modern science, if it doesn't fit their mainline thinking. They tend to be almost murderous in regards to attack towards others. But anyway, it languished until 1968, when empirical evidence of the seafloor spreading was found. The old geological models then were overthrown, and a paradigm shift established continental drift as a mainstream understanding of the Earth. 26, now the term that we refer to in quotes here is continental drift is understood today as actually both continents and oceanic crust floating together. The floor of the seabed basically is sitting and floating on molten rock, fire, where hell exists. It's also floating together on what's called the asthenosphere, the underlying molten rock allowing movement. 27, information on Wegener can be easily researched on the internet, such as here, the Berkeley Institute University Library, www.ucmpberkeley.educationhistory. 28, after the flood, the continents were divided, explaining, for instance, then how kangaroos got to Australia, how certain species of animals are unique to certain locations. In part, can be explained by this. Australia is the only continent that I know of that has kangaroos as a natural animal. How did they get there? Did they swim? Good luck on that. You sure wasn't doing the backstroke with those little bitty arms. We know that the Earth was different pre-flood, Genesis 10:25. And two sons were born to Eber. The name of the one was Peleg. For in his days, the earth was divided. Well, and if it's in his days it was divided, what was it before then? It was not divided. And this is post-diluvian, as this looks at then the offspring that comes from Noah after the fact. So the flood obviously had a lot to do in regards to the separation of the continents, then obviously as they continue to settle and move, we have them in their present positions today. Most recognize the area between Alaska and Russia, the Bering Strait there and through that area, that there's a bridge that was there before, and that wasn't that far back. So 29, so in other words, Pangaea was not subdivided during the flood event, but post-diluvium, after the flood. 30, now verse 10 again asserts God's sovereignty. The phrase, "and God called," we brought that out in part of the formulaic aspects of his decrees. That to call something, he's naming it, and that represents exercise of authority. And hence, reflecting upon his sovereignty. So he again asserts his sovereignty, and he assigns new names to the new geography. 31, Earth and Seas, the two names, are the two realms of planetary geography describing the terra firma and waters covering our globe. And that's what they've always been known in whatever language. 32, after this was accomplished, we then have another mention of divine approval. and God saw that it was good. 33, God takes pleasure in fulfillment of his plan. For something to be good, looks a fact that it's pleasurable. Isaiah 46:10. Verse 8, remember this and be assured. Recall to mind, you transgressors, the reversionists. 9, remember the former things long past. For I am God, and there is no other God, and there is no one like me. 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established. His will, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Denoting God and exercise of his essence and person, that in with respect to the creation, he enjoyed it. It was an enjoyable thing for God to create in such manner, and hence his perception, his critique of what he does, since it's under the sphere of absolute righteousness and perfection, it can do none other than obviously satiate his righteousness and his person altogether. So 34, that fulfillment in regards to the new Pangaea, separated from the waters, that fulfillment meant setting boundaries for the land and sea. Boundaries, as we know, obviously overstepped at the flood due to divine disapproval. He sets the boundaries. He can remove the boundaries. He can relocate them. And it didn't take long in man's history for the world to be, in regards to mankind, be enveloped in evil, and God having to step in and overrule again with judgment on the planet. And at that point in time, the waters left the boundaries. Obviously, you look today, if you go out anywhere on beaches, especially on small islands, and you wonder how in the world does this thing just not go underwater completely, God set his boundaries. See, obviously hurricanes, storms and things can wreak havoc on the land, but the land essentially it stays in place. So God's in control of all these things. So 35, following the flood, then obviously God reset the boundaries, and that was as the Pangaea was carved out into its new forms. Jeremiah 5:22. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? You're in trouble if he's having to ask you this to begin with. Do you not tremble in my presence? It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. For I've placed the sand as a boundary for the sea. As a boundary for the sea. An eternal decree, so it cannot cross over it. Though the waves toss, yet they cannot prevail. Obviously, in spite of any storm, any attempts of the water to overcome the land, once the storm passes, it all settles back to normal again. So 36, the situation of Earth is now primed to cultivate the life form established in the next three verses on D plus 3, verses 11 through 13. in these verses. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation. Then God said is the wow consecutive with a count perfect verb, third masculine singular, amar, A-M-A-R. Plus the noun, common, plural, absolute, our word for God here used consistently in our verses in the plural, Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. Obviously pointing to the Trinity. Then we have the determination, let the earth sprout vegetation. Let sprout or let grow is our verb here in the hifil, which is causative, imperfect, jussi force, command force, third feminine singular, dasha, E-A-S-H-A, dasha, let sprout or let grow the earth. Definite article with our noun for earth, common feminine singular absolute, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. Eretz, followed with the noun, common masculine singular, absolute, translated vegetation, is deshe, deshe, D-E-S-H-E, dasha, deshe, in the Hebrew, grass, herb, herb. It's herb, I guess. You don't pronounce the age. Vegetation or new pasture. Used 14 times. Let the earth sprout vegetation. And in conjunction with that, plants yielding seed. Plants, here's a noun, common masculine singular, absolute of Eseb. E-S-E-B. This is reference to edible plants. It's used 33 times. Yielding seed, you have the hifil participle, masculine, singular, absolute, of the verb zara, Z-A-R-A, causing to sow or yielding, followed with the noun, common, masculine, singular, absolute, verb translated z, seed, zara. Zara, Zara, Z-E-R-A, seed or offspring, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, and supplied. Fruit trees, you have first the noun for trees, common masculine singular construct, tree of, S-E-S, of, tree of, or wood of, fruit, literally. Noun, common masculine singular, absolute, peri, P-E-P-E-R-I. It's a verb. It followed in trees of fruit, bearing fruit. Bearing is your cal participle masculine singular of our producing word, verb, used in creation, asah, A-S-A-H. Here, obviously, looking at bearing fruit. Again, peri, repeated. After their kind is the preposition lamed, followed with your noun, common, masculine, singular, construct, with the third masculine, singular, suffix, mien, lamed, mien, M-I-Y-N, with reference to its kind or simply to its kind. With seed in them, on the earth, you have the relative pronoun, Asher, A-S-H-E-R, which kind, followed with the noun, common, masculine, singular, construct, with the third masculine, singular, suffix, Zerah with its seed, C-E-R-A, plus the preposition with the third masculine singular suffix, bait, a little letter there, B-E-T, in it, with this seed in it, literally, on the earth, preposition al, A-L, plus the definite article, and then our noun for earth again, eretz, E-R-E-T-S. And it was so. While consecutive, our come to pass verb, hayah, H-A-Y-A-H, imperfect, third masculine singular, followed with our adverb, ken, and it came to pass, thus or so, K-E-N. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth vegetation. So the decree is made, and now we have the fulfillment phase. Vowel conjunction, plus your hifel imperfect third feminine singular verb of brought forth, caused to bring forth, yatsah, Y-A-S-A. I'm trying to put the Hebrew in there. Yasah, caused to bring forth the earth, ha-eretz, again, with the definite article, vegetation, or noun, common masculine singular, deshi, E-S-H-E, repeated. Plants yielding seed after their kind. Plants is the noun eseb, E-S-E-B, a common masculine singular absolute, followed with the verb hifel participle masculine singular absolute, zera, causing to yield, seeding, if you will, sowing, Z-E-R-A, after their kind. Causing to yield seed in Zerah following afterwards. Seed, seeding seed, literally. After their kind, preposition lamed, followed with our noun, common masculine, mean, again, M-I-Y-N. And trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. Wow, conjunction, trees, again, noun S, yes. Bearing fruit, doing, producing is your verb here as a cal participle on a continuous action, masculine singular, a saw, A-S-A-H. Fruit, peri, the noun, again repeated, P-E-R-I. With seed in them. Tree bearing fruit, which kind, asher, relative pronoun, A-S-H-E-R, which kind, seed, in them, zera, repeated, Z-E-R-A, in reference to them, you have the preposition bait, with, followed with the preposition lamed, and then with the noun, third masculine singular construct, both the preposition bait and this noun have the third masculine singular suffix mean, M-I-Y-N, in it with reference to his kind, literally. And God saw that it was good. Vowel consecutive, our verb to see here, cal imperfect, third masculine singular, ra'ah, R-A-A-H, God, Elohim, that is your particle key, K-I-K-I-Y, both the predicate adjective masculine singular, the noun for good, tov, T-O-B. And there was evening, there was morning, a third day. While consecutive, it came to pass, hayah, third, the masculine singular, kal, imperfect, followed with our noun for evening, common masculine singular, absolute, Arab, E-R-E-B. And there was morning, same construction, while consecutive, hayah, wahayah, then morning, boker, noun, common masculine singular, absolute, B-O-Q-E-R. A third day, a day, yom, the noun yom, Y-O-M, common masculine singular, absolute, followed with the adjective, cardinal adjective, masculine singular, absolute, for third, shalishi, S-H-E-L-I-S-H-I. Then you have your end of paragraph marker in the Hebrew, which looks like that. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation. Plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them on the earth. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. All right, the analysis here of verses 11 through 13. One, with dry ground, providing soil and nutrients necessary for cultivation, God wastes no time creating plant life on D3. All this is occurring within a 24-hour period. Essentially, it is occurring almost instantaneously. It is occurring during the daytime as each of these days ends with evening, and then you have night, and then you have following morning. So God wastes no time after bringing up the dry ground. He obviously supernaturally gets rid of the moisture sufficient for it to now produce and sustain flora. So two, now the creation of flora bridges the restoration between tohu and bohu. In the restoration, we see a reversing of the previous condition of the planet due to its judgment of being a waste place and empty of life. So here, the flora acts as a bridge, if you will. It obviously populates the planet, but not with corporal life, but with plant life. So three, in other words, the planet will no longer be desolate, providing a pastoral habitat ready for the repopulation of life. So four, now determination, verb let sprout, fulfillment, and it was so, and then brought forth, and appreciation, it was good, are all formulas party here to the divine fiat, then God said. Five, God uses the earth as a medium, the go-between, to cause both the germination and maturing of the plant life, as the hifil verbs caused the sprout, the shah, and brought forth, the asah, emphasized respectively. So caused the sprout, and cause to bring forth. So six, what God provided was the material seeds for the plants, an accelerated growth process creating an apparent age. So the picture here of the plant life being created is God provides the seedlings into the earth. He puts them into the earth. You see an immediate sprouting of the seedlings, then an accelerated growth process. as they just, as you would see like in the movies, slow motion cameras capturing over a long period of time a plant coming to maturity. So that's your verbs to sprout and to bring forth. It looks at a germination and the baby plant popping up, and then it just keeps on growing. So, 6, what God provided was material seeds for the plants, an accelerated growth process creating with apparent age. Again, all the hoopla and gymnastics that Christians try to go through to answer the evolutionist demand for longevity of existence regards to certain things in its appearance is easily refuted by just reflecting upon and recognizing that God created with apparent age. In the restoration process, things came to maturity. The trees are already fruit-bearing within the restoration. The plants are ready and mature. And all this comes about instantaneously. And obviously, it's no more reflected upon than in the creation of man and woman, who were created as mature adults, ready to begin sexual recreation immediately. See. And with obviously a matter of intelligence ascribed to them. So. Yes, we understand our planet, the Earth, has obviously been around longer than 6,000 years. But even apart from that, you cannot necessarily use your carbon dating to be accurate in regards to fossil life and things of this nature. Because if God created with apparent age, then your scientific readings are going to reflect that age. So, no biggie. It's all a matter of faith. They believe what they want to believe. We believe what God tells us to believe. They want to call us weak for it. That's fine. And call me next week as far as I'm concerned. I don't care. So, 7, the miracle now of a fiat creation. Again, simply through speaking, these things occur. Where there were previously no life forms, is suddenly and dramatically covered with flora. A planet, in the first part of the day, there's no land, all of a sudden land appears. God supernaturally dries out the soil sufficient to handle plant life, and next thing you know, bingo, the world is covered with flora all over it, the dry ground. So, let's take our break.